The following content is intended for people who are blind or Brent impaired.
Engage.
You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm Chris Skidmore, and this is Tech Tips. Coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips, we are going to be talking with Michael Jampson about a new app that can help you cross a busy intersection when you can't even see the signals. Stick around as we talk all things OCO on this month's episode of Tech Tips. We've all been there, standing at a busy intersection waiting to cross to the other side of the street, only to discover there's no audible pedestrian signal. What if there was a way your phone could let you know it was safe to cross the street? Now, thanks to an app called OCO, your phone can do just that. Today, we are talking with Michael Jansen about this game-changing app that can literally see crossing signals and let you know it is safe to cross the street. Hi, Michael. Thank you for talking with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Chris. It's a pleasure.
So we're going to get into the app here in a little bit, but first, who is Michael Jansen, and how did you get involved with OCO?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. So I'm Michael. I'm 26 years old. I'm born and raised in a town or a city called Antwerp in Belgium. It's a beautiful small country in Europe. But basically how I got involved into, let's say, the blind and vision impaired community, we have a blind family friend back in Belgium. His name is Kenny. And about like 2 years ago, he told us about like his challenges when navigating outdoors. And myself, I have a background in computer science. So I gained my expertise in artificial intelligence, which we'll probably talk about in a bit. But basically we saw like a huge opportunity to bring artificial intelligence specifically to assist blind and vision impaired people to navigate more safer and more independently outdoors.
Okay, awesome. It always amazes me how people that I talk to in this industry got into it because of a friend or a family member who had a need, and they were able to fill that need.
Yeah, that's so true. I think that's how a lot of companies within our communities, let's say, pops up or get incorporated.
Mm-hmm. So the company behind OCO is called, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, EYES, A-Y-E-S. Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about the story behind EYES and how the company got behind OCO?
Yeah, sure. So it's actually a fun fact, actually. So EYES is an acronym which stands for Artificial Eyes, because of course we use, within the OCO app, we use artificial intelligence. And then, of course, if you link it with like who we're developing the app for, is for blind and vision impaired people. So we're providing, in a sense, artificial eyes to do any task. So that's how the name came about. But we also quickly realized the fact that we are developing an application for mobile phones. We started to realize, like, for example, if you say, "Hey Siri, open the EYES app." And I see my series already, or my phone is already going crazy. But basically what we noticed is, of course, in English terms, if you say EYES, normally it's spelled E-Y-E-S and not A-Y-E-S. So the funny thing was we wanted to come up with a more distinct name, but also a name that is easy to pronounce in any type of language. And that's why we came up with the name OCO, which is O-K-O. And basically, OCO stands in some Slavic languages like Croatian. It stands for human eye. And again, the link with what we do, of course. And if you think about like, "Hey Siri, open OCO," it's very easy. But also for any type of other language, whether that may be Spanish, Japanese, our language, which is Dutch. So it's pretty a distinct name, and that's why we chose for OCO. as a product name instead of the company being ICE.
We are talking with Michael Jensen today about the OCO app, and you are listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. And Michael, according to the website, OCO gives someone who is blind or visually impaired the ability to cross a busy intersection without assistance. So with that said, what is OCO and how does it work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So maybe to give some context as well to why we started off with assisting to cross intersections or signalized intersections. A good thing to mention is, of course, it's something that we've learned here in Belgium, and then we've learned it that it's a problem like generally worldwide. But basically, it comes down that cities in general don't make their pedestrian crossings accessible enough for blind and visually impaired people. And of course, what pops into many minds is like an audible speaker that is placed at an intersection. But of course, it's not always there. And I think it's also a bit related to the price of installing it, which is quite a high price. But also on the other hand, it requires a lot of maintenance. So we see also that those devices are improper maintained. So again, you can't use it or neighbors are complaining. So we've saw a lot of challenges related to those things. And then we started to realize that the smartphone has become the number tool for anyone, any person throughout the world. And we also at the same time started to realize that the AI trend is taking up and smartphones are capable of running AI these days. So that led us to the fact that we developed the OCO app with, of course, the biggest functionality right now in the US is the ability to indeed cross a busy intersection. And how OCO exactly works, so we use the back camera of your iPhone, and we support iPhone 8 and up, which is an older device, so that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But we use the back camera and then artificial intelligence to identify the pedestrian traffic light status. So the pedestrian traffic light status, again, depends a bit from state to state in the US, but normally it's a red hand to indicate the don't walk, walking person to indicate the walk signal, and then either the seconds or red flashing hand to indicate the countdown signal. So these three signals, let's say status signals, are being captured by our OCO app with the use, of course, with the camera and our artificial intelligence. And then we provide a very differentiable feedback to indicate one of these signals. And we actually use three types of signal feedback. Sorry, one is audio, the second one is haptic, and the third one is a visual overlay. So again, depending on the walk, don't walk, or countdown status, you'll feel a different type of audio and haptic and also visual overlay. And I think what's pretty great about our technology as well is, as I mentioned, we use a camera and artificial intelligence. A good thing to understand and also remember is that our software runs locally on the smartphone itself. And that leads to the fact that we are not reliant on an internet connection, a cellular connection. And I think in big cities in the US, you can end up in like a dead zone. So we don't want to rely on those things. So that's one benefit. But on the other hand, we also don't require any additional infrastructure to be installed, which is, of course, a problem of just generally making cities accessible with infrastructure. We just merely look at the pedestrian light that is already installed there for everyone. So that's the beauty of our application.
Awesome. I can't wait to give this thing a shot and try. I must admit, I do not have an iPhone, but I know some people who do. So I am definitely going to give it a shot when I can get a hold of them. One of the things that makes OCO great, and you touched on this a bit, and that is that it is an internal application, which means it does not require an internet connection or for a city to install any kind of infrastructure to make it work. Let's talk about the artificial intelligence in it that you talked about a little bit. I'm always curious about this kind of stuff. How does the artificial intelligence work to identify, mm-hmm. you know, the various signals that are being shown to the camera?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think to put it in a very simple way, our AI or artificial intelligence model has learned what a pedestrian traffic light looks like. Of course, walk, don't walk, or countdown. It's basically the same as teaching a sighted person to do a certain task. And in our scenario, it's teaching what a pedestrian traffic light looks like. And the same is true for teaching a computer to visually analyze a certain image that comes from your camera. So in the backbone or in the backend, let's say, we've trained the model with thousands, or I need to say hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of pictures of pedestrian traffic lights in the U.S., not only in North Carolina, in every other state, because the beauty of artificial intelligence is, of course, that you need to rely on a vast amount of data, but also collect it in different scenarios, for example, different cities, but also different weather conditions, like during daytime, during rain, during snow, during fog, during nighttime. Any scenario that you can imagine needs to be represented, let's say, in the data set, such that our model is able to learn and to distinguish a pedestrian traffic light from no pedestrian traffic light available in the picture. So that's basically how our algorithm is, let's say, trained or teached to look at the traffic light. And then just on the operation sides in the OCO application, the model is just being run to identify it at real time on the crossing.
Okay, and it is able to differentiate between the pedestrian signal and the traffic signal?
Yeah, exactly. So our technology only gives you feedback about the pedestrian light or the pedestrian signal. So we don't look at anything else, not a car light, not a cyclist light, if that's even a thing in some states. But it's only looking at the pedestrian signal, because, of course, pedestrians should look at those things or follow those rules, let's say.
Okay. So in your research, I'm kind of curious about this. Did you find that different cities or different countries use different symbols for their pedestrian signals? Like, does everybody use a red hand for stop and a green person walking for go, or are there variations of that?
Yeah, there's definitely variations. So we've actually launched our app about a year ago here in Belgium. And I think generally speaking, but it's not very consistent, but generally speaking, Europe has almost the same traffic lights across all countries. There's like small differences. But I think the biggest difference is, of course, between Europe and, let's say, North America, so the U.S. and Canada. In Belgium, you have like a red person and a green person to indicate the walk or don't walk, and we don't even have a countdown signal. So there's, of course, differences. And I think specifically about the U.S., I think it's quite consistent. The only thing that happens is like the orientation of the traffic light. It can happen, and I think most of the traffic lights is on the left, you have the red hand, on the right, you have the walking person in a more horizontal way, but you have also vertical traffic, pedestrian traffic lights. So the red hand is on top and the walking person is below it. So again, there's some variations, but it's more standardized across the U.S. from my understanding.
Okay, awesome. The OCO app is packed with various features to help keep a user safe while crossing the street. If you don't mind, would you go through these features, and kind of talk about how the app helps to keep the user safe? Specifically, like the automatic pedestrian signal detector. You mentioned the notifications, but also one that I don't think you've mentioned yet, and I may be wrong, but is the one that I'm really interested about is the keeping the user from veering out of the crosswalk.
Yeah, that's indeed a great question. So maybe I'll quickly explain like how people normally use it. So if you're a cane traveler or a guide dog, it doesn't really matter. But basically, the moment that people take out their phone is the moment that they're feeling that they are at the intersection. It's based maybe on like the truncated domes, or they feel the curb or anything, any other cue. At that point, they take out their phone. Or what's also very popular is that these days people use like lanyards or pouches to carry just their phone around the neck. Again, it's personal preference, but the moment that you're at the intersection, of course, there needs to be a pedestrian light. The moment they take out the phone, and then the easiest way to activate our app is just say, "Hey Siri, open OCO." The moment, of course, that the application is launched is also the moment that our application is searching for those pedestrian lights. So there's no action required at that stage to, let's say, detect the pedestrian lights. It just goes automatically. I think a good tip is for all people how to properly use it. So the ideal height is to hold your phone in portrait mode at chest level. And I think even for like greater comfort, put your phone against your chest. So the screen is against your chest and the back camera is in the direction that you're walking in. And again, at chest height. And the moment that the pedestrian traffic light is in sight is the moment that you'll feel immediate feedback. Again, audio, haptic, or visual overlay, depending on your preferences. So you'll get immediately those types of feedback. And I advise you to those people that are interested in our application, you can just become acquainted with like the type of feedback that you get, because of course they're differentiable between the walk, don't walk, and countdown. The good thing about our automatic detection is, of course, you immediately get notified. But the moment, for example, a walk signal comes on and you get that feedback, you also, of course, use your own hearing to make a considered decision to walk into the crossing. The good thing about it, and that's also what you mentioned, keeping users from veering off out of the crosswalk, people hold their phone at chest level against their chest while crossing the street. And the beautiful thing about it is the moment that you're veering off either left or right is also the moment that the traffic light will become out of sight. And that also means that our application will become silent. So you don't feel any audio, you don't feel any haptic or vibrations. And that is exactly a moment that people use our tool to reorient themselves, again, left, right, depending on where you're going. Mm-hmm. And the moment that the traffic light is in sight again, that's the moment that our application picks it up and again provides you the same feedback depending on the status of the light. So that's why a lot of people also use our technology to cross the street in a straight line, in addition to, of course, knowing the status of the light. And that's a very beautiful thing, and I think it's something that you as users are loving it, about, because we get a lot of testimonials of people being able to first in their... I was in Wisconsin, actually, about 2 months ago, and there was a lady, she was 20 years old, legally blind. And she mentioned that due to our application, it was the first time that she was able to cross the street in a straight way because she had a lot of issues with veering off into traffic. So that's an amazing thing. And I think we, as we're relocating to US, so that's also a pretty interesting one. We are really focused on like getting an even better product for everyone there.
Awesome. I can't wait. You mentioned that you're moving to the U.S. And I know that from my personal research, the app is available in the U.S. Could you talk about how people can get the app and then also talk about maybe how easy it is to set the app up once you get it installed?
Yeah, that's a great question. So basically, our app is indeed, you can just search OCO. Either OCO AI Copilot for the blind, or you type OCO space eyes, our company, so OKO space AYES, or you can easily find our application by Googling our website, which is www.ayes.ai, and there you also find a button to again go to the Apple App Store, and then it's just as hitting a button, installing the app. And it's actually pretty easy. There's not much like to set up. There's no login requirements, which is also an easy thing, of course. There's, of course, in the beginning, given it's a new application, there's some sort of like onboarding to mention what this app is intended for, what types of feedback that you can receive or get from like using our OCO app. And then it's just like 3-4 screens that you need to go through, and then you're immediately in the main app, let's say, to scan for pedestrian traffic lights. So the process in general is not very much. It's like 1 or 2 minutes at max, but we do advise people to read them through because we've learned that a lot of them skip it, unfortunately, but I think it's very important to just take your time to read about it, like the exact feedback that you can receive, how to use it, how to let's say hold your phone. So those best practices, we always encourage people to read them.
Okay. Is there a cost to the app?
No, yeah. So currently, and we, that's really our mission. We want to provide our service for free. So the app is just for free to download in the App Store. Our vision is if sighted people do not need to pay to look at the traffic light, why should blind and visually impaired people? Mm-hmm. So we're always looking more to work with like third parties, may that be a city, a government, maybe healthcare, to facilitate our and sustain our business model, of course, because we feel that the responsibility is more on their end rather than on the user level.
Okay. I know that for now the app is only available on iOS devices, but do you have plans to make an Android version?
That's really a great question. I think we get that that question quite a lot. generally speaking, if you think about our technology and the fact that our AI runs locally on the iPhone, it means that we really need three requirements, which is, of course, a good camera, a good battery, and a pretty damn good computer chip. Mm-hmm. So let's say the brain of your smartphone. And, of course, Apple is a bit beyond any other iPhone, any other Android. And again, thinking about iPhone, we support iPhone 8 and up, which is like 10 devices. And as a young company, it's pretty easy to support those 10 devices. But if you think about the Android landscape, you're talking about hundreds, if not thousands of types of phones, which becomes a very tedious and very challenging task. But on the other hand, there's not too many Android devices that are capable of running our complex software locally on the phone, and we really don't want to compromise this app for just being on Android. So we're a bit like hesitant to go there. Mm-hmm. But I think on the other hand as well, what we've noticed as well, most of the blind and visually impaired community uses iPhone, again, from like legacy. They're just so good at accessibility, and they still are. So I think the combination of like not being able to run our complex software on Android and being that the market uses more iPhone has led to the fact that we focus right now on iPhone, although we're of course willing to go to Android, but I do not know like when that time will be that we will be able to support Android as well.
Okay. Well, speaking for all of the Android users out there, please consider it.
Yeah,
because I am in the minority. I'm an Android user, and I am legally blind too. So it, you know, to see something like this that could come to Android would be awesome, because Lord knows I can use it, especially living in a small town where the majority of our crosswalks here don't even have pedestrian signals, which I'm really fighting to try to get that taken care of. But you know, there's a crosswalk, but there's no pedestrian signal, and you can't stop. You know, you have to really use your ears and your self-awareness to listen to traffic and be able to know when it is safe to cross the street. So, like I said, on behalf of Android users everywhere, please, please, please make this happen. Let's talk about, you touched on this a little bit before, let's talk about all the ways that people can learn more about OCO and EYES, you know, via website, social media, that sort of thing.
Yeah, sure. So maybe to start off with the website itself, which is EYES, which is www.ayes.ai. So that's the main website where you find more information about like our team, but also the OCO application. And there will be, there's also a community section actually, where we try to gather like all the podcasts that we're doing or any other event that is upcoming, because we're also planning, as we're moving to the US, we're also planning some events our own. So that's our website. And then talk a bit more about social media. We're pretty active on Twitter. So our account is again, AYES_AI. And the same is true for our Instagram account. And on Facebook, you can also just find or Google us by our name, which is EYES, A-Y-E-S. So those are like the three main channels, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, do you have anything up on YouTube?
Not yet, but we're starting to think about it, because of course a lot of people are inviting us for like podcasts like these or anyone else. Mm-hmm. So indeed, like engaging on YouTube might be another channel that we're also adding to our list. But mm-hmm. Right now, not yet.
Okay, awesome. And you kind of mentioned events and stuff. Can you give me just a couple of events that you may have coming up, as far as, you know, are you going to be out on the convention circuit or anything like that?
Yeah, so we talking about our own hosted events. We're still planning them because we're just about to relocate next week. But basically, we're thinking about like some sort of like demo slash workshop where people can know how to use our app, or they have some sort of like feedback that they would like to share. But generally speaking, we're attending the NFB as well as the ACB annual convention, which is in the end of June, beginning of July, which is in Houston for NFB and ACB in Chicago. So those types of events will be definitely cool to meet users or people just in general.
Okay.
Pretty exciting.
Okay, cool. I know we're on a time crunch, and I've got one more question. You on the website, I've seen where you are wanting to work with people in orientation and mobility about getting this app in the hands of the users and teaching them how to use it. Would you please talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. It's indeed a pretty new section, so it's great that you've already read the section. But basically, we've learned again from Belgium that O&M specialists are really the crucial aspect into one, teaching clients how to use our product, but of course, like also providing like the right information. So we want to work and engage as much as possible with these O&M specialists, because they are out and about in every other state. And of course, we're a smaller company, so we don't or we can't just go to every other state to teach people ourselves how to use the app. So that's why we want to partner up with O&M specialists, such that they know like information from our side, like how to use it, or they can download a flyer that they can distribute to clients to really make sure that proper information is being distributed and there's not some sort of like miscommunication in the community or in the orientation and mobility specialist. And I think that's a good thing to mention. We're not a our OCO app is not a replacement of any O&M's skills. It's just an addition to your assistive technology toolbox that you can use to safely cross streets in the U.S.
Okay, awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to add that I may have missed?
No, yeah, I think it's pretty exciting. Like if we're thinking about like moving to the U.S. next week, we really want to engage as maximum as possible with the users. And that's why we're conducting some user interviews to really get a better understanding of like the needs and how we can maintain and let's say fine-tune our product to the U.S. Needs. So if anyone from the audience is interested, you can just reach out through the website or any social media. If you want to help out, we're always happy to do so and interested to do so.
Awesome. Well, I am going to thank you profusely for your time. It is much appreciated, and I can't wait to get my hands on this and give it a test drive.
Yeah, super. Thanks for having me, Chris.
In case you missed the website address to learn more about the OCO app, it is eyes.ai, and that is spelled AYES.AI. The OCO app is available for download through Apple's App Store. And again, I'd like to thank Michael Jempson of Eyes for taking the time to talk with us about the OCO app. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Tech Tips is available online at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.